This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the help that we have received so far. Pray even as we step into this next part of the meeting, we receive all the help that you have for us. We pray that you bless us with utterance, bless us with a listening ear, cause our hearts to understand and receive all that you have put even in this lesson for us in the name of Jesus. I pray that everyone would receive the understanding of redemption, the understanding of moving forward, the understanding of change, for that is what you want for us today. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. This is the seventh lesson, and we've been talking about the great harvest, the church, and the household of faith. And the topic today is principles and practices of redeeming the field, the church, and the household. We've talked about the current state of the field. We spoke about the ungodly state of the field. We spoke about both the manifest and hidden works. And then we spoke about the corrupt state of the field. But today, we are looking into the principles and practices of redeeming the field. Okay, we have two objectives today. The first objective is to illuminate believers on the process of purchase and redemption of the ungodly and the corrupt field. And then the second part is to identify the ministry of the Godhead in the program of redemption and restoration of the fields, which is man's soul. For our text, quickly, let's open our Bibles. James chapter 5, verse 7. Leviticus 25 to 27. Then we're going to read Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. Ruth 1 to 12. 1, 2, go. James 5, 7. Patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. Leviticus 25, verse 25. 1, 2, go. If thy brother be waxing poor, and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which is his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the seal thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. 1, 2, go. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Ruth chapter 4. 1, 2, go. Then went Boaz up to the gate, and sat him down there. And behold, the king's man of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down there. And he turned aside, and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the king's man, Naomi, that is come out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was her brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the king's man said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel, concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. House be the house of Phares, whom Tamar bore unto Judah, and the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. I know many of us have read this story over and over again about Ruth. The interesting thing when they were praying for Ruth was that Ruth was a Moabitess, right? Because she was a Moabitess, you know, there was a curse that was already on the Moabite people not to enter into the congregation of the Lord. And by marriage, she married one of the sons of Elimelech that died when they went out of Bethlehem to look for bread. You know, and upon return, we could see that by reason of how Ruth, you know, walked, she was able to find redemption and have access into the congregation of God's people. So on a normal ground, Ruth did not have that leverage. But that integration into the lineage of grace was by reason of how she walked. Deuteronomy, let's just read it. Say, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their what? 10th generation. That shall they know what? Enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Verse 4. Because why? They met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt, and because he hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. So by natural birth and by circumstances, Ruth was never, ever supposed to be joined to Israel. And let's quickly look at this. Purchased by the blood of Jesus. Talking about the field, the ungodly field and the corrupt field. Though all souls belong to God, the adversary gained access to man's heart and mind through the fall of Adam in the garden. He took occasion to bury the fallen seed within every man's field and establish systems through which he waters and causes its increase by the agency of his cohort. The prosperity of ungodliness and corruption within the souls of men has continued from generation to generation, which with each succeeding generation further advancing the strength of wickedness, making men ripe for cursing and destruction. Through the curse of this world, that's C-O-U-R-S-E, and the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, and by these, the adversary lay claim to men's souls. We can see that in Genesis chapter 6, from verse 5 to 7. To address the inherent expressions within the field, both manifest and hidden, there is a need for this access to be taken away, and the field brought under the authority of its rightful owner. He can then provide and send the necessary supply to cause the ground to receive and bring forth fruit after the order of righteousness. The field must therefore be legally purchased and taken away from the perpetual oversight of the adversary. This was made possible through the death of Jesus, who was given for the world and whose blood is the atonement for the expressions within the field. The Word made himself of no reputation, lived victoriously, and gave the utmost pleasure to God. Through the sacrifice of himself, all who believe in him and confess his lordship are born again. Their spirits are quickened and their souls are purchased. So we can see that in the beginning, you know, when the Lord told Adam, he told him specifically, he said, if you eat of this what? Fruit. What will happen? So he told him that if you eat of this fruit, you shall die. Did Adam die?
Yeah.
We know that from record, you know, Adam's body fell maybe 930 something years later. So does that mean that that death was referring to was that death of the body?
No, sir.
So what died in Adam the day that Adam ate of the tree? So Adam's spirit died the day he ate of that fruit. And we can see what began to happen almost immediately. But God could still come to the garden and still interact with Adam, because there was still something that still had some measure of life in it. Because if everything about Adam had died, there was no way God would have still been able to come to the garden. So we see that the soul of man still had certain measures of life as at the time that the spirit man died. Because man, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, he said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole what? Spirit and what? And what? Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see that over the years, what the adversary has been trying to completely kill or to make totally separated from God is the soul. Because the spirit man had died already. So God could still relate with men based on the quality of life that their soul still possessed. But the adversary began because the sin had already entered the world of man. Say, by one man is disobedience. What happened? Sin entered the world. So that entrance of sin, there was warfare. There was a lot of warfare. We could see this in the life of Cain. Because after they had sinned, there was still what we call the presence of God that the lineage of Adam still stayed under until Cain departed. And what did the Lord tell him? He said, "Sin lieth at your door." We would have thought, oh, he had died now. Sin had taken over completely. No. But sin had taken over, but still wanted to take over fully. And what did they call the heart? When Jesus Christ knocked on the door, he said, "I knock on the door of your heart," right? So the door there was talking about the heart. So to a large extent, that heart had not yet, you know, been taken over by the workings of sin. So it could still respond to God in certain measures. But over generations, like we see here, what the adversary did was he began to cultivate the field of man, which is his soul, ensuring that ungodliness and corruption thrives in that field. So his warfare over different generations was to ensure that man got to a point that that field will never be redeemable. But God, by his mercy, was doing all to ensure that man still had an iota of response to him. Because what is death? Death means you can no longer respond. So we could see men like Abraham, men like Isaac, although their spirit was dead, they were not relating with God with their bodies. That's why it would be wrong for you to just believe that man is just body and spirit. If man is body and spirit, then the spirit has died. Then how did God now relate with men in the old? So we could see how God was relating with men based on what was still in their soul. But the adversary was working to ensure that that man became corrupted. Immediately man corrupted his ways in Genesis 6. What happened? The one that left, God said, before they corrupt this one, let me ensure that flood comes and take over everybody so that he can preserve a generation. And that's what God has been doing. Because God has already told Satan that the seed will bruise your head. So he'll do everything in his power to ensure that that seed will never come. That the lineage through which that seed will come will be corrupted totally. And God was keeping generations upon generations to ensure that the seed still found a way to come. Yeah. So we could see that part of the agenda of God, you know, was when the word was made flesh. Because God had raised men over generations, different generations. But there was no one that their field could fully bear forth the precious fruit that God has been looking for. So God could work with men and they would bring forth certain measures of fruitings and bring certain forth different measures of pleasure, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So they had different measures of faith that could bring certain levels of pleasure. But the fullness of pleasure that God had destined man to bring forth was not possible. Why? Because rightfully, man has sold out. Rightfully, that field was no longer in the custody of man again. Another person had rightful access to that field.
It was a legal transaction. Man handed over the possibility of entrance by that disobedience. So the adversary had access to be plowing the fields of men. The adversary had access to be walking upon the souls of men. So the first thing that must be done to this field is that it must be purchased. And a person that will purchase this field must have the money that they are calling. Or have no bought land. It's because currently now, the amount that a land is going for, if you want to start saving it, maybe you have to add your salary of 2 or 3 years together. You can see that it's not every land that any man has the means to purchase, have the resources to purchase. So was man in his fallen estate. No man could buy man. You can buy a slave, but you have not really bought that man. Because that field belonged to another. Another person rightfully was working on those fields. So to buy man in his totality, his spirit, soul, body, you must have the money to buy it. So we've had people that they call saviors in the land of Israel. When they came to redeem those people, what they could only redeem was the body from the hands of physical enemies. Nobody had access to redeem the soul and to quicken the spirit. Nobody could travel that depth. So the only person that can do this thing is God. Because the person that was working on the field of man and has hired Taut and Agberos and they have surrounded the field is an angel. He's a fallen angel higher than man. So if you want to buy this field and you go to him and say, I want to buy this field, he says, what is in your bank account? How much have you saved? So no man that has worked with God in the past has saved enough to buy man from the devil. Because the criteria of purchase is that it must be the blood of a sinless man. So all these men, that no matter the amount of pleasure they have brought to God, they did not attain that state of being a sinless man. So the boast of the adversary is that no man can arise that can be sinless. No man. That's why he trails every man from birth. Looking into your details and ensuring that at the age of accountability, he kills every man. Kills their spirit and begin to train them in unrighteousness. Beginning to work on their field for ungodliness. So that they can become corrupt eventually. So it was the word. Saying the beginning was the word was with God. And the word was what? The word was God. Because outside God, nobody can pay this debt. So they had to raise a sinless man. Philippians 2, verse 7 to 8, the last point here. But made himself of what? And took upon him the what? And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even what? The death on the cross. So Jesus was born as a man, as a boy, as a baby. The word was born as a baby boy. What does that mean? That means that they breastfed Jesus. That means that if there were diapers in those days, they changed his pampers. Angel had to appear and say, they want to kill this child, run with him. He was a helpless baby boy. And people say, don't talk about Jesus like that though. Jesus, my Jesus. Jesus was a helpless baby boy. He was a boy that was born in the manger. Made himself of no reputation means that he emptied himself. Everything that tied him to godhood, he emptied himself of it. Why? Because you don't need to carry a person. If he's God, he doesn't need to run away. By the time you carry a knife and say, I will cut your head, by the time that knife, it will just become water. Even your hand, you know, you go just stand like this. What gives you hope is the humanity of Jesus. Because he said he was at every point tempted, but without sin. But another place say God cannot be tempted. So if he was able to be tempted, that shows that he was a man. That shows that you also can be tempted and you overcome that temptation. So when he lived as a man and he grew, Luke 2 was saying, and the child grew. The child grew in stature and wisdom and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. God does not grow. He was a child. And the grace of God was what? Was upon him. That is what qualified him to have the money to pay for your redemption. What made him qualify to be able to stand as a man and say that I can pay the price is because he was a man. It would have been flawed if it was possible that there was no way to tempt Jesus. Satan will say, you guys are lying. Because Satan checked him. You know, in the Old Testament, they bring out the lamb and they check for every flaw. They test and say, is this thing worthy of the Passover? So Satan was looking at Jesus. If he saw that this person is, why will God come to meet for you? He can't be tempted now. So he was tempted as a man. So what gave him the ability to purchase you was because Satan, because even if you ask Satan now, that who defeated you, he will say the man, Christ Jesus. Because there's a mediator between God and man. What do they call him? The man, Christ Jesus. So what is responsible for your redemption is that a man was raised sinless.
Redemption of the purchased possession, constitution of the church and its household. The soul which is the field was purchased from its old master, along with all the old expressions and hidden roots of uncleanness and corruption within it. It is imperative to understand that although redemption occurred within the spirit through the new birth, the conditions of the field were not addressed. Very important. Your spirit was quickened, but your memories was not erased. Your emotions were not touched. The way you used to reason, that's why you have to renew your mind. So all the work that they've done in your field that is still making you ungodly and corrupt is still there. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. Said, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye did what? The what? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye what? Which is the what? Until. So the Holy Ghost is the seal until the redemption. So what happened to you at New Birth? They purchased you. But you have the Holy Ghost until what? Until redemption. So redemption is not only instantaneous, it's continuous. Because they've purchased you, so you belong to the Lord. Say you have been purchased. It's a glorify God in your spirit and body, which are the Lord's. Because you have been purchased. But there's a process called redemption that must now happen to a believer that has now been purchased. So you are a purchased possession. By the blood of Jesus, they have bought you. You don't belong to the devil. You belong to him that has what? That has bought you. You have been purchased. But that purchased possession needs to be what? To be redeemed. So redemption does not end in purchasing. You can purchase a field and leave it. Redemption does not automatically mean what has been on the field before has been taken away. You are purchased, but you need to be worked on. You are purchased, but you need to be redeemed. Revelation 14 said, these are they that were redeemed from the earth. Redeemed from man. What does that show you? It shows that even until the end, they are doing a continuous work on you for the purpose of redeeming you totally. The purchased possession, which is the soul and body, are now added to the church. Consider in Acts, they added to the church daily such as should be saved. A reclamation by virtue of purchase and a restoration of the field to strength and vitality, enabling it to bring forth righteous trees and good fruits. This is God's wisdom to keep the field from trespassers and within his reach, where he can supply all that is required for its restoration to yield its increase. The ordinances within the church and the household were instituted by the Lord, who is the head, to ensure that his blessings are supplied to the fields. To resist these ordinances, however, hastens the maturity of the fallen seed unto destruction, even though the believers have been added to the household of believers. Now let's look at the work and ministry of the Godhead in the program of redemption. So the Godhead are all stakeholders in redemption. The Father, the Word who became the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are all stakeholders in the program of redemption. The husbandman, this is God the Father, who has labored throughout many generations to preserve and prepare the field of the earth according to his eternal purpose. He prepared the stage for the word to be made flesh and dwell among men. He actively participated in raising the Son, speaking to him and showing him all things, and committing to him everything necessary for the cultivation of his field, that it might bear fruit in abundance until he attained the full and exact measure of sonship, perfectly aligned with the Father's will. In the fullness of time, the Father gave up this seed to die and be buried, that new life might emerge. He measured out the full cup of suffering required to purchase and redeem mankind and give it to the Son, knowing that apart from this sacrifice, man would remain forever in bondage under the depth and dominion of sin. So we can see this, the Father working from Genesis, working with men, preserving men, raising men in their diverse forms, just to ensure that mankind is not totally corrupt, to ensure that the lineage through which our Lord Jesus Christ can be preserved, that seed, that has been promised from the start. So he gave the Holy Ghost, who is the Lord of the harvest, to believers after the resurrection of Jesus Christ to work on the field and get it ready for the harvest. Then look at the Lord of the harvest. Who is the Lord of the harvest? The Holy Ghost. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost, who oversees every phase of the harvest, bringing conviction to the dying field for the plenteous harvest, and continually guiding, leading, and cultivating it unto the great harvest. So we've said it before, Holy Ghost is even around unbelievers for the purpose of conviction. But he does not dwell in you until new birth. And he does a lot of work just to ensure that you believe. Orchestrate your path, makes you meet people, just so that you can hear the word that will make you to believe. See, he regenerates and indwells the believer's spirit at the new birth. He's the earnest of the inheritance required for the process of redemption, ever present with the believer. He recreates and indwells the believer's spirit at the new birth. He's the earnest of the inheritance required for the process of redemption, ever present with the believer, both within the church and in the household. So the Holy Ghost's ministry begins way even before you became born again, working around you to ensure that you are guided to the plenteous harvest, which is the new birth. And after the new birth, he is still there until the redemption, meaning that he is continuously working within us to bring us to the place of the great harvest. And one of the things that was concluded, was that one of the strongest places for the ministry of the Holy Ghost is in the household. Can we say in the household?
The household!
Because when we look at the later part, talking about the kinsman redeemer, talking about Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi, we could see how Naomi was mirroring the work of the Holy Ghost in the life of Ruth. Because she was the mother-in-law, right?
Yes, sir.
But how did Ruth find her way into the field of Boaz? By the instruction of Naomi. So, meaning that there's no limitation that cannot break as long as a person can hear instruction. And you will say, it's not the Holy Ghost that said it. It's not just the mother of the house that said it. It's not the Holy Ghost that said it. It's not just the father of the house that said it. Holy Ghost that you cannot see will first of all lead you through men that you can see. Because truth be told, if you cannot obey those people that you are seeing, it will be very difficult for you to obey the Holy Ghost. Almost impossible to obey the Holy Ghost. There was nothing that Naomi, in the whole essence of it, had to offer her. She told her when they were leaving that, okay, look at me. Even if I want to marry again and give birth to a son, how long do you want to wait until this son will now mature and you now marry that son again? When they were following her, when they were leaving, she told the two of them, because it was not just Ruth. It was Ruth and Orpah, right? Tell, please go back. There's nothing for me to offer you again. Go back to your people. Go back to your gods. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back. And unto her what?
Oh.
One of the things that household will do for you is that they will x-ray your people and your gods. Your people and your gods. Because every man has gods that they are worshiping. Naomi was married to, is it Mahlon or Chilion? One of them. But yet, the gods of their father's house, they had not forgotten about it. That's why they said, Opa, journey to a point with Naomi. But after Naomi had now said, I don't have any sons for you people, we could see that Opa really wanted something that Naomi could not give. So at that point, her gods were x-rayed. Her desire was shown, was laid bare. She returned back from following Naomi. You know, in the household, one of the things that you will see, if you are sincere with yourself, is that you will see that you have gods that will be confronted. You will see that in your pursuits, in your journey, if you are following, you say, I can't follow a man, it's God I'm following. My brother, you can't follow God. How did Ruth connect God? How was Ruth able to connect God? By reason of her following Naomi. Imagine she did not follow Naomi. There is no way she would have been grafted into that lineage. Because when Ruth was talking, she said, you have dealt kindly with me. Now, one of the fears of many daughter-in-law is their mother-in-law. But a woman used mother-in-law to enter more life. Said, your God will be my God. So the place of even coming into knowing God cannot be separated from relationships in the household. Then we have the Lord, who is the owner of the vineyard. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Or the Lord of the vineyard, or the owner of the vineyard. He paid the ultimate price of redemption with his own blood, purchasing every field that believes in him. By this sacrifice, he took rightful ownership of the field, securing its redemption and establishing his sovereign claim over it. He adds the purchased possession to the church and sets them within the family of faith. He is a program of redemption and pattern of restoration for every man's return to God. He's the program of redemption. So it's not just, you've believed with your heart and you've confessed with your mouth. Your spirit man is what? He's saved. Because Jesus Christ is a curriculum. There is a price that Jesus paid. And there is a process that Jesus went through. So the price that Jesus paid is able to purchase you. But the process he went through is what is supposed to conform you to his image. When he said that we shall all conform to the image of the Son, right? So conformity to his image will never happen if we don't go through the process that he went through. No wonder First Peter was saying that we should walk in his steps. So he's just basically telling us that there is a price he paid, but there's a process he went through. So the price he paid is able to purchase you. But that price that he paid is not what will ultimately conform you. So you have a work to do in the place of conformity. So for your field to be conformed to his own field, you must do a work. So for your field to be cultivated, for them to break your fallow grounds, for them to remove weeds, to uproot roots that are hidden inside the earth, there are corporations that you must do. There is a responsibility upon the believer to submit to the same process and program that the Lord Jesus went through. That's why he is the program. Jesus is not just a person to cry about in worship. He is a program to follow. He is a process to learn. He is a school to attend. He is a curriculum to understand. And he calibrated his life so that as believers, we can, by the Holy Ghost, Jesus was saying that when there are many things I want to say to you that you cannot bear. He said, when I'm gone, when the Holy Ghost is coming, he will take of mine and show to you. What does that mean? The Lord of the harvest has the template of Jesus Christ's work. And what he will do with that template is that he will interpret it to you in your daily living. So that your decisions, your dispositions, your heart postures, your attitude, he begins to instruct you according to how Jesus Christ walked yet. So when he's telling you to take the fall in certain places, it's because Jesus Christ was meek in the days of his flesh. So he will take that process, that program, and interpret it to your day-to-day affairs. And as you are taking steps, fields are being broken down. Fallow grounds that have been hardened by years of disobedience are being broken. Habits that have stayed for long, you know, by reason of obedience, by reason of that instruction, one instruction of the Holy Ghost, things are being broken down. Break up the fallow grounds. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. And we can see the owner of the harvest is the one that has the seed. He bears the seed of the kingdom to sow into the believer's field. However, his labor cannot prosper unless the ground has first been worked on and prepared by the Lord of the harvest. So that parable in Matthew that spoke about the Son of Man having seed. The sower is the Son of Man. So he has seed. But the prosperity of the seed he has was based on the conditions of the ground. So the Lord of the harvest, who is the Holy Ghost, must have done work on that ground so that he can receive the seed that the owner, which is the Son, has to give. So the harvest to the condition of the ground. I don't know if they tie the harvest to the condition of the ground. So if the condition of the ground is not worked on, that will also affect the kind of harvest you will bear. So if you can submit your field to be worked on, then your harvest can be great. So the Lord of the harvest must have worked on your ground so that you can receive seed for the purpose of what? Bringing forth fruit. The last subtopic here, we have Kinsman Redeemer, the Godhead and man's redemption, a case study of Ruth. Looking at the life of Ruth, according to the law of Israel, a Kinsman Redeemer, they call them Goel, was a near relative who possessed both the legal rights and the responsibility to restore what had been lost, sold, or taken away from a family member. Redemption required this relative to be qualified and willing to fulfill the lawful process entailed. Leviticus 25, let's read it again. Let's look at that law that was given to the Israelites about a kinsman redeemer. Leviticus 25, verse 25. So if thy brother be waxing poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. That was the law in Israel by the kinsman redeemer. We can see Ruth, who was a Moabite, from a tribe prohibited from accessing the congregation of God's people, lost her husband, who was a Jew, through death, and was left without inheritance, representing the condition of mankind after Adam's fall. Through Adam's transgression, man lost his original dominion, inheritance, and fellowship with God, becoming subject to the power of death. We can see 1 Corinthians 15:22 saying, Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The state of Ruth reflects the helpless condition of man, unable to restore what was lost by his own strength, and requiring a redeemer who possessed both the right and capacity to restore the inheritance. See Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. See, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet what? Christ died for us. The conversation of Ruth revealed one who maximized her positioning and responsibility within Naomi's household. She was willing to refuse every alternative and choose Naomi's people and God. Demonstrating this commitment through her faithful engagement with the responsibilities of the household. Ruth chapter 1. Let's open Ruth chapter 1. Verse 16 to 17. Said, and Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my what? My God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What does this bring to your mind? Does this bring to your remembrance Revelation 14? That there are those that follow the Lamb wherever he is going. So, to follow the Lamb, you are not going to see a physical Lamb in front of you. But the Lord will raise people in households and in the church that you must follow. That if you are unable to discern and follow these people, you are not going to end up in redemption. So they have been talking about redemption. All that process for roots is redemption. Process from joining from her people to attach herself to the lineage of God. All that journey, what you see from the beginning to the end is what? Is redemption. So at a particular point, she had the option to go back to her people. Go back to your gods. You are two, root and upper. You are still young, full of life. There is so much more to do than to waste your life following somebody. Because that's what the world will term it as. You are wasting your life. But what tied roots to the loins of Naomi was because of an understanding of her people and her God. Say, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. So, we can see that at the point where alternatives are being given to you, one of the power of redemption is that on your journey, say on your journey, on your journey in the process of redemption, there will be a lot of things that will come your way. There will be alternatives that will come your way. There will be things that seemingly look like the reason for living. Because not having a husband seems that if you don't have a husband, you are doomed. If you don't have a husband at this young age of yours, nothing is happening with your life. If you don't have a husband at this point, you are not where your mates are. And Naomi, oh my God, Naomi tested that in upper and in roots and said, you people don't go with me anymore. I don't have anything to give to you. And that is a question that will be asked of you in your journey of redemption. At certain junctions, when it looks as though God does not have anything to give to you, what will fuel your continuity is that you understand that there's something about God himself. What Ruth wanted was not a husband. What she wanted was not a child. What Ruth wanted was the God of Naomi. What Ruth wanted was the God. As long as I can get the God of Naomi, I am okay. Even if she went there and she did not find a husband, she was okay. So in your journey of redemption, these things will come your way. You will get to a point and it looks as though what you have been pursuing, the reason for coming, is not showing forth yet. What are you going to hold on to at that point in time? Upper saw the offer. At that point, Ojo Upper, her eyes were opened. Just like the eyes of Eve was opened. She saw a future without a husband. She saw a future in a land of uncertainty. She saw a future of no profits, no reward. And Upper said, Ma, you have said well. And she went back to her people and her gods. But Ruth's eyes was also opened. Hey, when your eyes is open, what do you see? Ruth's eyes opened and she saw the God of Naomi. She saw the people of Naomi. By reason of engagement in the household, she had heard about this God. by reason of engagement, because I'm sure Naomi would have been telling them that this God, he did this. This God is like this. This God is like that. But right before your very eyes, you have heard so much about God, but their husband died. They've heard so much about this God, but Elimelech died. And this God that Naomi has been talking about, where is this your God? So at the point of separation, there was every reason for Ruth and Orpah to go back. Because we have heard about him, but we have not seen what he is seeing. So we can see that Naomi maximized her place in a household. That decision did not just come, because it came as beyond much more than her telling them. She has interacted with Naomi and she has seen a kind of life that she wanted beyond the external. She has seen that there's substance in this woman that I need to get. And she wanted that. When he said, go back, she said, no, I'm not going back. I'm going to go with you till the end. I want your people to be my people. I want your God to be my God. Naomi represented the work of the Holy Ghost, who taught, guided, and led Ruth into the field of Boaz, who represented our Lord Jesus. He was a true pattern of a kinsman who was qualified and willing to restore and buy back the field that was once lost together with the woman. Can we say amen? Amen. Boaz's redemption was not limited to purchasing back his lost relative's lost inheritance. Through redemption, Ruth became joined to Boaz and gained access to his own inheritance, resources, and field. The labor already bestowed upon Boaz's field became available for the cultivation of the redeemed field. Do you know what that means? So there was a field. Say there was a field that needs to be redeemed. So by reason, what redemption did for Ruth is not just that they bought back that field, right? But the field of Boaz, you remember that Boaz had a field already? And servants were working on that field. And that field was fruitful. It was in that field that she was plowing that they left some things for her to pick, right? And when she also picked, she did not finish eating it. She took for her mother-in-law. Showing that the life in Israel was a community life. Was a life that when you come, you have to obey that order. So in the field in Israel, when you plant and you are reaping harvest, you are not allowed to reap everything. You must leave some for the poor and other people that can come after you and pick. That was what Ruth was doing. So in that same field, where Ruth also packed her own, she also took home, right? Showing that what you gather in the church, you must use it at home. The instructions in the church is meant to be amplified in the house. So it's not that church is doing their own, me, I'm doing my own. No, you just do your own, me, I'm doing my own. Or you say, in this place, so what they are saying there is not what we are living by. No. So we can see that field was already worked on. So Boaz's field was not ungodly. It was not corrupt. It was bringing forth fruit, right? Now, this other field has not been worked on. What does that tell you? It tells you that Naomi and Ruth now have a rightful access to the field of what? Of Boaz. Now, the servant in the field of Boaz will now also begin to work in this other field. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. They will start working in this other field. What? Transforming the reality of this field of Boaz into that same reality. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ is doing. Such that our connection with him is supposed to change everything within us to conform to his image. So the other kinsmen represented prophets and righteous men in previous generations who lacked the means to purchase the field and all it represented. They lacked capacity for total redemption. This particular kinsman wanted to just buy the field, but not the woman. But buying the field means you buy the woman. Meaning that he could go an extent, but he could not do all. What our Lord Jesus Christ did is that he bought you totally. But if we not buy you partially, what he dropped down, the money he put down is able to buy you totally. He has the money. He has the resources. He has the capacity. He has the will to purchase you You know what Satan is doing? Omonile vibes. You know what they call Omonile vibes? You're not the owner of the land, though. But you're entitled. You want to collect your cut. For anything is done here, you must pay me something. What the adversary is doing, legally, you don't belong to him. Redemption is not something that was done behind the scene or in a corner. Redemption, every spirit in heaven and on earth understand that transaction that happened. Legally, you belong to the Lord because he has purchased you. You are purchased with a price. So the person that owns you legally is the Lord. But you know, how many of you have seen situations whereby you've bought a land and you want to put your, what do they call those things? Those pillars. Those corner pieces. Say you are the one. And by the time you get there, you already see people. You see some guys say you cannot do anything here. We are the ones here. And they want to start fighting you. They bring out knife, bring out gun, and say, no, this land, legally, you are the one that owned that land. But experientially, you might not be able to work on it. Legally, now you get land. But experientially, another person say, no, you cannot work on this. So what will you now do? You now go and get law enforcement to come and do what? Drive out so that you can now start cultivating your land. Some people, the agbero on their land. The way Holy Ghost is saying, can you just be meek and just accept it? Do you know what he did to me? That thing that is talking is agbero. Because what they want to do by reason of those instructions is that they want to start working on your land. But you have empowered the agbero against the owner of the land. And say, never. So you are the field. And you must cooperate. And say, agbero, oh yeah, out. What does that mean? It means that, because when they want to walk on a land, it's just that land cannot cry. When they say, break the fallow ground, my brother, the ground is really fallow. What they call fallow is hard. So if you carry axe and bah on the ground, what do you want to do? You want to break it. But that thing, if land can cry, Yeah, they are hitting me. Yeah, because that thing is coming with a pain. They cannot be breaking fallow ground and you are still okay. They cannot be breaking fallow ground and we are still in our comfort zone. They cannot be breaking fallow ground and we are still the same way you used to be. And that is why it is very evil, very devilish, very, I don't even know what to call it, to say and agree that that is just who I am. That thing is a fallow ground that needs to be broken. I'm just a person that this is what I do. I cannot but do but express my opinion. I cannot but do just that thing must be broken. You must be able to hear the Holy Ghost and say, in this matter, keep quiet. In this matter, don't talk. In this matter, you don't need to have a say. In this matter, withdraw. In this matter, this is what you just say and leave it. And it looks like the other person is winning. And something is boiling within you. Hey, they are winning me. And I know what to say. They are winning me. And I only go say, should you let them win you? Nobody wins me in my generation. No. We are always the first. I shall be the head and not the tail. I must do this. Or you heard something in passing. You heard a gist in passing. And then it's burning you to tell somebody. Say, somebody now comes to you and just begins to talk about things and say, and mention something around that. And say, hey. Say, do you even know? God. Hey. Hey. That thing is turning your stomach. Holy Ghost, say, if you say it, Holy Ghost, say, mark by me now. Don't say, just keep quiet. Let that thing die. Let that thing be buried. Don't say. All those, what they are doing is that they are breaking information. They are breaking information. You get into a household and there's an instruction, don't do this. And everything around you wants to do that thing. That warfare, they want to break something. You might not allow them to break it, though. You might not allow them to break it. Because you just want to preserve yourself. But if you are interested in this redemption, You've been purchased. A person can be purchased, but no work is ongoing. And that's very painful. He has paid the price. He has bought you. You are legally his. But then, let us start working on this field to take away the implants of ungodliness, the imprint of corruption. But you are saying, no, it will never happen. I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be shaken. I don't want to be pained. The Godhead, they are all stakeholders in the work of redemption. We saw what the God the Father did. We saw what the Holy Ghost did. And we see what the Son also did with his blood. So the elders at the gates represented an established standard of righteousness through which redemption was legally confirmed. They bore witness to the transaction, ensuring that redemption was accomplished according to righteousness, order, and truth without controversy. Their presence represented the work of the husbandman who bears witness to the work of redemption and labors tirelessly to sustain and preserve the institution, continuity, and climax of redemption. The desire of God upon every field is redemption. What God wants in our fields that has been plagued with ungodliness, has been plagued with corruption, is that he has bought it and he now wants to redeem it until the redemption of the purchased. So you have been purchased. Now you are in the process of what? Of it. And I said two things. I said Jesus Christ, he paid the price, right? But he also what? Went through a process. So the price is able to buy you, but conformity is by you also enrolling in that process because he is the program of redemption. So we are learning the man, Christ Jesus. Can we just thank the Lord for this morning?
Let's thank God for how the Lord has helped us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for our pastor and how the Lord has helped him to minister to us this morning. I want to believe that we are following through the lesson and that we are not just hearing, we are applying ourselves. You know, I want to believe that there's an awe, you know, that is being developed in our hearts. Now, one of the things I think, you know, as we reviewed this lesson, that was very clear in my spirit is that when it comes to us, heaven is very, very particular. Can you say heaven is particular?
Heaven is particular.
About me.
About me.
And you see, it's important that every believer knows this. They are not doing our lives lesson. You know, there's an awe that this lesson should make us have about our life. You see the investment of heaven. You know, when people confess that I cannot fail, I cannot know. Confess because you have an awe of the investment of heaven over you. As it was ministering about redemption, you see that when it comes to us as a people, it takes all of the Godhead. Because I see a lot of believers have very little regard for their lives. And you see it maybe the way you exalt things over your life. Your life matter to God. Your soul matter to God. When they are going to bring redemption to us, they gave themselves. And you know, I want to believe that in church, it is very clear that when we talk about the Godhead, the personality of the Godhead is very clear. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Ghost. And we saw that in our redemption, they played a part. Praise God. They played a part. And you know, if you are confused, when he said, if you look at the baptism of Jesus, made it clear that there was a Father, Jesus the Son, that became flesh, was being baptized. Abi, the Holy Ghost in the symbol of dove came upon him, right? And the Father bore witness. Are you? Jesus in days of the flesh said, I will pray the Father. He didn't have mental instability. He wasn't talking to himself. He was talking, I will pray the Father. He was praying to the Father that he will send what? The Son. So, you know, there's no confusion. The personality is clear. But you see, in the redemption of our soul, They played a part. I'm just trying to say that your life has the imprint of the Godhead, and it's good you know it, so that, you know, things that we exalt more than the workings of God in our life will become nothing to us. Do you know that Satan knows this more than we know it? Satan knows what it cost him. Satan knows what it cost him to bring man down. And he knows what is costing him to keep man down. And because he has an inkling of what God wants to do with man. When it comes to harvest, you can see that harvest is a particular work they want to do in us. And you know, redemption, we were talking about it, redemption as a legal side. And that legal side was fulfilled in what God did in our Lord Jesus. You know that? Redemption also has a progressive side. I say progressive side. The progressive side is what God is doing through his son in us. Because God followed a just process when it came to our redemption by paying the price. Satan cannot contend your redemption. I have not heard Satan say Jesus is not die for you. He cannot say it, because the price for our redemption was the price of a sinless man. It was the blood, the life. You see, one thing about being a believer, there should be a confidence that comes in what was done, and also a confidence in what they are doing in us. Because I say that a lot of us, the way you conduct your life, you know, showing that you don't have that understanding. When you want to pass away with this world. You know, Satan knows more about redemption than ourselves. And he ought not to be. Jesus died for man and died for me and you. And he knows that there's also a work, the progressive side, that he wants to bring all of us to. And we thank God for that. You know, there's one thing that anytime we wake up in the morning, that we have breath. We must have breath that we are redeemed. Let it sink deep inside our hearts. And we are redeemed for a purpose. If you really took time to look at that kinsman redeemer, when I saw it, I was just laughing. You know, the principle of the kinsman redeemer. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. You know, when you look at the story of Ruth, one of the things, you know, Ruth, a Moabite. How many of us know the history of Moabites? Does anybody know who they are? Who are they? They are from Lot. They are children of incest. From Lot. You know, the story of this kinsman redeemer tells you that I don't know the regions of death that you have journeyed to. You know, it was journey. Men journeyed away. Men journeyed and journeyed away because it was actually one man that was created. But men journeyed and journeyed away, became Moabites. But in redemption, redemption is able to bring those who are far near. Redemption is able to not only buy back, but also integrate into a lineage. You know what happened to the Moabites was a limitation. You know, and that's what Satan did with the soul of man. It's not only to kill man, it's to put limitation. Limitation in our ability to be a heir for the Lord. And so when we look at Ruth, you know that story, one of the things it should make you know that God can go far to bring a person near. God can go far. And I really don't know whether you are Moabite. I don't know your story. But you see that some people have stories. And we see one in the days of the flesh. The Lord reached out to Ruth, the Moabite. You know, and did what? Brought her what? Brought her near. Even when there was a curse that says until the 10th generation. Because a curse is a limitation. And she was brought. She was only brought. And you know what was amazing? That you see, the tool of bringing clothes was household though. Say household.
Household.
He said, first of all, before they could bring Ruth to the congregation, they first brought her to the household. Say household. You see, this family life that we are talking about. This family life. Say this family life.
This family life.
Is a tool of redemption. Hey, look at your families. You see, every estate in family life, wifehood, husbandhood, childhood, parenthood, in-lawhood, all the hoods in family life must be a place where souls can journey to their kinsman redeemer. See, mother-in-law relationship was how somebody left limitation and a cursed life. So, when you are in families, a proper family life should deal with curse. You know, this is a challenge to every mother-in-law. Can you be like Naomi? A challenge to every wife and of your husband. Can you show people to the kinsman redeemer? Can you show your God in your living of life? Somebody will love my God. You don't understand. Somebody who lived in your household, who lived with you, whether you're a brother, we come to a place where you live their life because Naomi was showing something. She was showing something that put a desire in Ruth. You are living in a family. But where you are, that place you are, what are you showing? Can men journey by what you have, they've interacted with you, and they can journey to a place where limitation can be broken from there, and they come to that place where they are brought to the kinsman redeemer. What are you showing as a wife? Are people looking at your conversation and all they can see is to curse your God? Are men becoming, at their heart burning that, you know, to know that I want to know this God? He put the first place when they were going to bring, you know, that's why we cannot belittle the place of our families. Your family life is powerful. That is your first encounter. If you don't do well in family life, you can't do well in church life. You know, when we talk about brother, all those relationships with our brother, this one and that one, is because it's to an end. Where we can come to the progressive side of redemption. And Ruth did that very well. When Naomi was talking to them, he said, you have dealt kindly. One of the things that was exalted in my spirit was the conversations of charity. You see, this season of others, one of the things that is exalted, he said, you have dealt kindly with me and your husband. How are you dealing kindly with your brother, with your husband? You know, you can be an unkind wife, an unkind husband. You can be an unkind brother, an unkind child. He said, you have dealt kindly. I don't know whether amplified as another word of this, because sometimes, you know, to explain, to deal kindly with me, you have dealt kindly. You know, not only did she deal kindly with the living, she dealt kindly with the dead. That was how a conversation in the home. Some people, is that wifehood or that homehood that will get them to hell. And it can make you sit on the throne. The way you are dealing, the way we are dealing. You know, it's not far-fetched. When they're talking salvation is not far-fetched. The lines of salvation is the systems he has placed on me. The way to embody our sitting on the throne. It's not when you go and proclaim on platforms or in nations that you are doing something. Your real doing is where you have been located. That is what will cause for our making, our change. That is where the lines of all the revelation and the thought, it is how you are doing that, Ganga. That is how you will end up on the throne. I believe that there's a call for us. There's a call that God expects us to use those places he has placed us in. In a household of Elimelech, a Moabite was starting a journey of conversation. What a journey. I mean, even she lived a life that even was not ashamed to note her in the lineage of Jesus. She left her people. She left her kindred. You know, some of us, we come into a household with our gods, with our ways. You are in a household, you want to still do things the way your God. Kilo there. This army I cook. If as little as how you make semo, this is how we make our semo. What's just wrong with you? Why can't you leave that your God? Your God is anything your heart has affinity to. It's where you fetch your ways from. There's this inverted and hellish gospel that makes you think that you have no cause in changing. This is that thing that makes you be malleable. Ability to change, to be malleable. You know, so you will come, you will just stand. They are saying this. You will want to be doing things the way this house, we don't sweep like this. This is how you want to sweep your sweep. It's in those little things, my brothers and sisters. And you'll be amazed how a Moabite that is caused a life that is limited can be plugged into a life forevermore. You'll be amazed when such soul apply themselves. I want to charge us today, because this place of being in process of being redeemable is not far-fetched, my brothers and sisters. Many of us are looking for opportunities, right? You know, sometimes when you finish messages in church, you are thinking of, oh, give me opportunity. You, right there, there's an opportunity where you are. Where you are, where you are, where you are. Whether it's your parenting, it can be the way you're parenting your child. You have been parenting your child according to your gods, according to your ways. May God come to all of us. You know, when they preach to us, they need to come and speak to us again. We need to hear the one, the Lord of the harvest, has to come and be speaking to our hearts so that we can align ourselves. That in all of these lessons, we will not be cheated. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.